welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church, where our goal is to help you become successful in your relationship with Jesus. The first step? Join us in the Connect Room directly following service. This is for anyone who does not feel like they are connected to the family of God. Step two is to help discover more about God, yourself, and the church through Discover classes and Discover Weekend. You can get more info in the Connect Room. The third step leaves all the choices up to you. To develop, one, your faith through classes, two, your relationships through groups, or three, God's church through serving. Finally, we want to help you lead in life. Step four is a course to equip you with biblical principles for success, influence, and leadership. Come and connect after service to take your next step today.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Welcome, His Tabernacle Live
Stream. We welcome you to
Turn to somebody next to you and say, welcome, family. It's so good to be in the house of God this morning. What a blessing it is to congregate together to celebrate the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Amen. We want to let you know some of the things that are available to you in the house of God weekly and some of the things that are coming up that you have the ability to participate with. First of all, we have a Connect Room, and that room is directly, if you left the sanctuary, took a left, came down this hallway, there is a room available for those of you that are brand new visitors or those of you that have not yet made some connections within the church. That is our Connect Room. And oftentimes we have our staff, our leaders, and some of our pastors that are in there after services waiting to meet you. One of the things that we do really well at His Tabernacle Family Church is build relationship. We truly want to know you. And when you come to this house, you truly feel as if you are a part of a family. So directly after service, if you are a visitor or newer in the church, or you feel that you have not made some really strong connections, join us in the Connect Room. We would love to have an opportunity to meet you. Also, we have Discover Weekend coming up March 5th and 6th. This is an opportunity for you to grow more intimately connected to God. And there is nothing more important than intimacy in your relationship with Him in this day and this time. And this weekend will bring you to a new place of freedom. It will bring you to a place where bondages are broken and captives are set free, and joy and peace is released in your life. So March 5th and 6th, please join us for Discover Weekend. If you are interested in participating with that, you just want to go to the foyer, go to the Welcome Center, and they will get you signed up for that. Then, one of my favorite things that we do at His Tabernacle Family Church, March 14th is Baptism Sunday. Now, I grew up in a church where when you got baptized, it was more of a proclamation of the fact that you had accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I'm so excited to share with you this morning that getting baptized is so much more than that. It is a supernatural experience with God. It is the place where you die to your old self, but all of your old wounds, all of your old brokenheartedness, your hurts, your sins, sickness, your disease, all of that dies away as well. And you are made new in wholeness in all things in your life. It is truly a supernatural experience. So if you want to participate with that, even if you were baptized a long time ago like I was, and you want to renew that experience with God, go to the foyer, go to the Welcome Center, sign up. We want you to experience the fullness of what God has for you. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but Easter is really close, which is so exciting because I feel like April is the last hurrah of winter and that we can be excited that summer's coming. But we have an opportunity to reach out to our community by providing Easter egg hunts. And And this is something we do really well, is ministering to our community. And in this season where so many people feel alone, we want to be the hands and the feet of Christ. So if you're out at the grocery store and you see some candy that looks really fun and you would like to be a blessing to our community, grab those bags of candy, bring them into church. You can drop them off on a Sunday or one of the weeknights that you're here for classes, but it would be such a blessing to our community. We want to always be sowing into the kingdom of God. We're going to ask you to stand this morning, ready and prepared for worship. And I'd like to invite my senior pastors, Pastor Michael and Rhonda Spencer, up to greet you.
We love you, Pastor Palko. Pastor Palko's been with us 23 years. Can you give her a hand clap? That's a long time. I think you were here the second week, right? Second week or first week? Second week the church opened in 1998. Wow. All right, let's go sit down. Wow. We are excited today. We're actually the first time we're offering what we're calling the red zone, and that is for folks that have physical needs. We have a lot. We have, actually, it's starting to dwindle. Since the Lord told me that there's a great return, the return is coming, the bride is coming home. We've seen more people come back, starting to come back than ever before. And so I'm excited about that. But we do have folks that haven't been here in almost 11 months because of their concern physically, or they work in that area of life and they don't want to infect anybody. And so we've created what's called the red zone. You can let your friends know. We can only do it second service. This is our lower service and numerically. And what we're doing is we're saving 4 to 6 rows. And the folks will be in that row, and they'll have to keep their masks on the whole time. And we're just keeping a higher protocol for that area. But I just want to say thank you for your patience and being here and being in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you. No, I do know. You weren't here for a service. I was. Wow. You are going to love today. Amen. Today is just going to encourage you. You're going to walk away with a big smile on your face. And I'm very excited to say happy anniversary. 22, right? 22 years? 23 years. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. That's exciting.
You're not old enough for that.
No, it just means that we're older. You know, isn't it weird, though, when you get older, everyone looks younger? Isn't that weird? It is kind of weird. What are you laughing at, kid? You're only like 14 years old. Dear Lord. I'm ready for a great day. How many of you enjoyed Pastor Rhonda's message last Sunday? Amen. That's of the life we've been living, and it's exciting to know you can walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
You can live in victory and not defeat.
Yes.
Your circumstances don't control you. You control them in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So we're very glad that you're here. We love you. We are just so honored to be your pastors. We love being your pastors.
Amen.
Last week I was preaching at the Ithaca campus, and they're getting ready to expand. They're out of room completely. And so they're getting ready to expand to a sanctuary that will seat 250. And then, as some of you heard prior, I believe the owner is talking about possibly, the owner is talking about donating the rest of the building to the church, which will be many millions of dollars worth of donation. And so we're just very blessed, and our church is growing. I want you to keep in prayer. I haven't said this to the staff yet. We've mentioned it a few times, but don't be nervous. It'll be all right. We're starting to pray right now about starting another location in Geneva, New York. And so we want
starting
you to keep
to pray about another location.
Well, I've been praying about it for a while. And so we'd like to start another His Tabernacle in Geneva, New York. They do not have a church like this up there. And so we would love to be able to go up there and bring them the good news and bringing the miracle working power of God and signs and wonders that show that Jesus loves them, and have a true Pentecostal church up there. There is one in Canandaigua, but it's many miles away. And so we'd love to see one start if you'll pray with us about Geneva. Amen.
Amen. If we leave it up to Pastor and we give him a microphone, he'll be starting campuses every single week in every city, coming to a place near you. Amen.
Hey, we get requests all the time from down south. Everybody that moves from here and moves to a different place, are you starting one here? Are you starting one here? Well, I mean, my whole
Pastor
staff is
Wood.
Willing to leave to start one down south. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.
Open in prayer, honey.
Father, we just love you so much. much. You are such an awesome, awesome God.
Yes, you
are. It is our joy to come into your presence. And Lord, when we come into your presence, things change.
Jesus, you're awesome.
Things change.
We love you, God.
Jesus, bondages are broken, addictions, sickness, disease is healed, restoration comes, strength comes, joy is released, peace is released. God, it's in your presence. We are changed and transformed. So we thank you for the privilege and the right to come together in unity as a body, a corporate body, where one will put 1,000 in one, but two will put 10,000. So God, in our unity
God,
this morning, we put tens of thousands to one that have been buffeting your children right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We are changed.
You are
good,
oh God.
We are changed. In your precious name,
up.
Jesus, amen.
Amen. Are you ready? Let's worship.
Lift you up.
You never stop. keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. We give you all the praise and all the glory, all the glory. No one can do it like you, Jesus.
You.
To talk to you this morning. Is that all right? You get worried about your children. You get worried about because of the things that you've seen that have brought up through the family. Are my kids going to be involved in that? God wants you to know that because you love Him and you sincerely love Him, He knows your love. And because you serve Him, that God has already made a way where your children are not going to be brought into that same thing. He's got protection all the way around them. He knows, and He's, listen now, He loves them more than you love them. And He's working for them because of you. You're a good mom. You're a good mom. You understand? Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't really know you. I mean, I see you, I talk to you, but I don't know you. But I do know this. God is very pleased with you, and He loves you. So He's got your babies, all right? I don't know why I had to say that, but I just got to let you know. I couldn't get it out of my spirit. He's got your babies. Amen. Yeah. Sit. Sit. Good girl. I have a puppy. They are pains in the rear end. The other day, she got me up at 4 a.m. to go to the bathroom. Now, you know, I don't sleep a lot, but if I'm sleeping, leave me alone. She was getting up at 2 and 4, and I decided, you know what? If I put her in the bed, maybe she'll leave me alone. And she does until she wants to get up. Then she jumps up. I'm sleeping, dead sleep. And this is what you hear. And she's licking your face, man, licking your neck. And you say, get off me, dog. 4 o'clock in the morning. She went back to bed. I didn't go back to bed. I couldn't go back to sleep. She runs down. She's hanging out with Rhonda. Then she's done with Rhonda. She comes back upstairs, and we have a bell that she rings if she has got to go outside. She rings the bell. Sit still. She rings the bell. I take her out. She goes a little bit of potty. Not a lot of bit of potty, just a little bit of potty. Comes back in, looks at me, rings the bell again. Now I'm in my devotional time. And I said, you better go. So I took her out, and she went to go get she's in this thing about getting the ice cubes and chewing them, bringing them in and chewing. That's all she's doing. And so she comes in, she's chewing ice. I look at her, I says, you know, I don't like that. She looks at me when she's done the ice cube, and she goes, I swear to God, she smiles. And she ran up and rang the bell again, and I said, oh, I've got you. I got a 10-foot, 20-foot tether outside, and you know, we got a lot of snow where I live. And so I took her out there, and I put her on the tether, and she's running back and forth. She's got a literal trail running back and forth as she's barking the entire time. And I said, I'll get you in 15 minutes. Spoiled. Hearing her barking, screaming, yeah, 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 I'm dying, I'm dying. And I kept going out to the kitchen, to the dining room. My dining room has windows, and the tether's just outside there. And I kept watching her. Now, she doesn't know I'm there, but I'm making sure she's okay, even though she's screaming even though she's out of her element, even though she don't like it, I'm sitting there watching her and making sure she's safe. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to me, that's what God the Father does to you. That even while you don't always see him, he's sitting there watching every move you make to make sure you're going to be okay. And you know, some of you are in that position where in your heart, you're just not sure if life's going to be okay. And I want you to know that God loves you more than a dog. Amen. He loves you more than a sparrow. He loves you. And even when you can't see him, get ready. He's watching you through the window to make sure you're going to be okay. Well, I went out and got her. Were you happy? Were you happy that I got you, baby girl? Huh? Yeah, she's got those eyes. I got out and I got her and I said, sit. She's all excited because she saw me coming. You know what? She doesn't understand, but I really wasn't that far away. And you don't always see God. And we go always get excited when we finally see him coming. But he's never been gone. Listen now, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I just want to encourage you today. If that's you, just like he said to me, that's what I do to you, huh, baby girl, huh? Huh, Kimber? Yes, you just love love. You just love love. Sit. Good girl. Be obedient. Oh, yeah. Be obedient. You'll see you get far more rewards. Not that he hasn't left you, but you get far more rewards when you're obedient. Isn't that true? Oh, you know that's true, don't you? You're a good girl. Amen. My wife hates the dog, just want you to know that. Because the dog jumps on her, licks her, and puts dog snot on her clothing. We want to welcome all the guests that are here today. Today is going to be a very unique day. I want to start right off by letting you know this. I'm not going to preach deep. I'm going to preach us. You'll understand that more as it unfolds. But this whole year, man, God is getting us ready for a great outpouring of his Holy Spirit. I believe without any reservation that we are going to see that third great revival that God spoke about, that the prophets are speaking about. Now, I don't know about all the ones that were wrong about the presidency, but the ones that I work with were right through that whole thing. And I trust, the Bible says that he reveals it first to his prophets. And I thank God for true prophets of God. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth is a true prophet of God. I thank God that he's part of our ministry and part of our life and has been for many, many decades. And today I'm excited because I want to share with you about change. And it's very simple today, but I think it's going to hit us all where we're living. And that is, change has to start somewhere. You see, anybody who desires change but never does anything differently literally has lived a confused life. They can't understand why their life is not transforming, why it's not moving forward. And the reason it can't move forward is if you're unwilling to change, then God can do nothing for you, even though God is right there. We want God to do things, but we don't want to transition to make them happen. And we've got to make a decision. We've got to make a decision that as believers, especially in these last days, that this is not about going to heaven. Listen, if this was about going to heaven, we'd all be there. But this is about living heaven on earth. This is about the kingdom of God is within you. This is about you and I walking in the power of God, walking in the love of God, sharing the gospel of God, walking by faith and not by sight. This is about you and I living in victory and not defeat, especially when trouble starts coming your way. If you did not get a chance to listen to my wife's message last week, I really want to strongly encourage you. It's on our Facebook, but it's also on the church's YouTube. It's literally spanned the globe in 1 week. But I think that you need to understand that we're not just talking things. My wife shared last week how she was diagnosed a year and a quarter ago with stage 4 cancer. And the doctors for many months were telling us she was just going to die. You're just going to die. You're not going to make it to Christmas. You're going to die. And we had to live by faith. As we're standing up here every Sunday morning preaching faith, as we're living faith, even as the other, we had an individual attacking us, as all of that is happening around us, you have to come to a formidable decision that either I truly believe that God is alive and God is powerful, that God's word is absolutely the truth, or you're going to fold up in a little ball and go home. The issue is not God. The issue is us. I'll say that again just for all of us to encourage us. The issue is not God. The issue is us. Amen. The change that has to happen to move us forward to the greatness of God is not God doing anything different. He's done all that he's going to do. It's you and I stepping into the reception of what he's already promised and already provided. As believers, we've got to make a decision that we are going to change forward no matter what circumstances are in front of us, no matter what trouble is before us, no matter how bad things look. You've got to make a choice that you can stand upon the absolute truth because he's an absolute authority and we can live in absolute faith and call those things which are not as though they already are. That's who we are. We're the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're not survivors joined a religion and hoping to make it by in some pie in the sky mentality. The verse we're using for the whole year is Isaiah 43 verse 19. And it says this, listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. It means when it happens, baby, it's going to happen quick. Here's the question. Will you not be aware of it? You know what that verse is saying? There's a lot of people who call themselves believers that are going to miss the next move of God. There are many people that God has great things for their lives that are never going to experience it, not because God hasn't provided it, not because God isn't powerful enough to put it and available for you, but because we are not paying attention to what God is doing. Listen now, this world is real. The Bible says, occupy till I come, but he didn't say settle down. Say amen. Amen. I said, say amen. Amen. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth quickly. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I want you to understand what that's saying. That's saying God's going to do something that is contrary to nature. God is going to do something supernatural. God is going to put a road in a wilderness where there should not be. Where it makes no sense, but because God is for you, he's going to make a way where it makes no sense to anybody around you. And that God is going to bring forth a spring. He's going to bring forth a spring and a river in the desert, which makes no sense at all. But God is going to do it because God is doing a new thing. And those who listen carefully and are paying attention, God is going to make heaven move and earth submit. And God is going to do something that makes no sense to mankind. That's who God is, and that's what God wants to do. Listen, that's what God has to do in these last days. What I love about him so much, you know, I was one day, my wife and I sat across from a woman, and I've given this story before, but it's so powerful, it just came to my spirit. We sat with this woman. Pastor Edlin set us up to go eat after a great speaker came to her church in Rochester. And we sat down with her, and she's talking, and she's about 90 years old. Yes. And her name is Fuchsia Pickett. And she's talking about her dad and talking about how much she loves her dad and how much her dad talks to her and directs her. And I'm thinking in my head, you know, I'm calculating. She's 90. Wow. And then she revealed it. She wasn't talking about her natural dad. She was talking about her father in heaven. And I realized at that very moment, boy, I really don't even know who he is. And I said, God, I've got to know you more. I want to know you like Fuchsia Pickett knows you. I want to know you in intimacy and relationship. And I want you to recognize this, that God is more desperate for that relationship with you than you are with him. He longs for you. He desires you. He's doing everything to make sure that you're going to succeed. And listen, God loves you so much, he's never going to give up on you. How many of you have ever sinned the same sin twice? After salvation, same sin 3 times, same sin 10 times, same sin 100 times. Some people aren't going to raise their hand on that one. Isn't it amazing to know this? I will never leave you nor forsake you. We give up on ourselves quicker than God gives up on us. God today wants you to hear him. This is, like I said, this is a very easy message. I'm not going to preach deep today. I'm going to preach us today. Because us is this, is that we are a people that need a truly faithful and merciful God. Can I hear an amen? We are a God who loves to bring change to our lives. Can I hear an amen? We serve a God who loves to move us forward, to make sure that we're growing and maturing and developing. What I love about my God is he's not looking at our A. He's looking at our Z. But the problem with Christianity is that many of us have given up on our A, B, C, D. We're satisfied with our L. We sit back on our laurels when we hit R. God is saying, no, I don't have that just for you. I have a Z for you. I have a design and a desire for you. Man, your eye has not seen. Your ear has not heard. Your mind cannot comprehend the great things that I have in store for those who love me. I want you to recognize today that our Father in heaven is never giving up. And every one of us, we've all had to change. And we all must continue to change. But the changing is not God's decision. The change is our decision. The forward is a mandatory, or we sit back and we start to retract. I said it a few weeks ago. If you're not maturing, you're not neutral, you're in reverse. It's not how you start the race only, it's how you finish the race. And my wife's testimony last week, we just wanted to share that with you as the church, because we wanted you to see that this isn't just a theory. This isn't just, well, you know, they're preachers, they're the pastors of the church. No. This is lifestyle. This is on Monday morning when the preacher don't have a pulpit. This is on Tuesday when hell seems to be licking your own toes. This is on Thursday when you just got cussed out at work. Come on now. This is on Friday when the bank calls you and says, you're a little short. This is real life. And our change forward puts God in the position of blessing us. Today I just want to, it was what God spoke to my heart. I just simply want to have some testimonies. And I'm going to ask the first testimony to come on out. Do we have a microphone? There we go. Do y'all know Brittany?
Hi.
Brittany is our administrator at church.
So growing up, I didn't really go to church a whole lot. I kind of just went to, like, get candy and prizes, fun kid stuff. So I had a single mother. When I was 11, she actually died in a car accident unexpectedly. After that, I kind of blamed God for a while. Thought that, you know, he had taken her life, and I didn't understand why. And then I got to the point where I didn't even believe in God at all. I was like, you know, if God is real, then why would he do this? So God must not be real. So I spent a lot of time just fighting with my faith and all of that. And then when I was 17, I went away to college. At that point I was like in bad depression. I had like attempted suicide, spent the night in the hospital after taking a bunch of pills. I had looked for pretty much everywhere for that void that was missing in my heart. You know, I was sleeping around with guys. I was drinking a lot, like literally waking up and drinking before I went to college class. So I spent all this time and all this sin just looking for a replacement for what I thought I had lost, not knowing that God was right there the whole time. My last semester in college, I was kind of like banking on this job down in D.C. They basically like said I had the job. So I went down for the interview and they said, nope, sorry, never mind. So I came back to Elmira, which I was like so mad about because I didn't want to be here in Elmira. I thought that like there was nothing here for me. And then literally like a few months after that, I ended up coming to church, getting saved and healed of all the things that I had dealt with for so many years. You know, I had dealt with anxiety and depression, panic attacks, all those things, all of that went away. And then I got this really awesome church family that really just helped me through so much of that hurt and loss that I had for so many years.
Amen. So. Thank you so much. Every one of us got to come to that collision. Are you going to change or not? Do you know, I have people say, it amazes me when somebody backslides or walks away from the Lord. I can't understand why you would want to go back to what you knew you hated when you left. You already knew it didn't work. Why would you go back there? But yet it is real. This is Craig Caldwell.
Hello, everybody. So my story goes, I was born into a really good Christian family on a farm out in the country, two great parents, got saved when I was five, baptized, joined the church when I was 11. Now, this church I grew up in was founded by my family, basically. Two-thirds of the charter has my last name on it, extremely legalistic. And, for example, it finally split up when my brother got married and had a dance with his bride and she had a dance with her father, and the church split over two dances in the fellowship
hall.
So when I was around 13, I started asking questions because I'm reading the Bible and learning about the Spirit and the power. And I didn't see any power in our church except, you know, people got saved, which is good. Not as many as here, obviously. But it did happen, you know, but they wouldn't answer my questions, and that made me angry, and I went on a cycle of rebellion, turned my back on God, drinking, smoking weed at 15. Kids, if you're asking questions, if you're in this house, ask questions to some adult. If your parent doesn't know, they'll find someone that does. That's something I love about this church is they teach, and we don't want people to be ignorant.
That's right.
So that's a big part. So I graduated from high school, moved out, partying like crazy, hung out with all the metal bands in Binghamton and everything. Ended up actually doing vocals in a death metal band for a while. Oh, yeah, I had hair down to my butt. Yeah, you don't even want me to. I don't even want to do the growl. not here.
No, please don't.
So, I ended up meeting a lady. We got married when I was 19. She was 24, and she was a practicing witch. I wasn't really into witchcraft at that point, but I followed a little bit, and I felt the power. I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's real, and it's dark. Even if you are able to have something, it's a scary place. I ended up researching into Satanism for a while, just trying to find the truth.
Yeah.
And it just, I kept running away from God because I was hurt, you know, when I was young. And nothing was working. So I ended up meeting somebody that got me around some people that were more like I wanted to be, like successful in life. And one of them finally got to me one day and was like, everybody in your family's a Christian. Why aren't you? And I couldn't answer him. I was like tight on the inside because the devil was holding on to me. And it was like physical pain in my stomach. And he finally was like, do you believe the Bible's true or not? And I had to fight through that. And I just admitted it was true.
Yeah.
God saved me that night. My friend told me that I was not to drive back to Binghamton because he felt the enemy was sending spirits to take me out because I had just ran away. He goes, you need to stay here where it's safe. The next day I went to church and people didn't even know it was me. I looked so different. Like they asked my sister if I was her new boyfriend. And so, I mean, I spent the next couple years trying to, you know, just growing, saturating myself with the Bible. I took a Sunday school class shortly after I got saved, and it was about parenting. Because it was a small church, that's the only one they had for the adults. And I was like, I don't have any kids, what is this? And God told me, you're going to be a father to the fatherless.
Amen.
Come on. 16 years later, I have four awesome kids.
Amen.
Two of them that were here before I showed up. But I met Nicole and moved out here, and we searched for a couple different churches, and then we found this one, and we knew we were home. Even after being offended the first time in this house. First time. but we couldn't go anywhere else. The vision has put our family on a path of success. Between saving Caleb's life in utero, helping us get out of debt, I mean, 10 years ago, me and Nicole were in his office, broke. Her employer wouldn't give her her last check. And, you know, he just said, we can give you some food. Follow the principles. Tithing, seeding, Dave Ramsey. we bought our first house almost 3 years ago.
Amen.
I've had two herniated discs healed in my back.
Amen.
I mean, the power of God, all those years searching, it was worth it.
Amen.
It was absolutely worth it. And that business that was born out of the lady that wouldn't pay her now has six or seven people working for it besides her.
Amen.
And it's just incredible to see what God has done.
Amen. Isn't that awesome?
It is.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name's Mindy Spencer. For those of you who don't know me, Pastor Cody's wife. I have the privilege and honor of being a staff here. So I just want to share with you real quickly. I know when you guys hear testimonies, I know I work with youth, and we get this a lot, the leaders. They have a hard time sometimes because they look at our life, and they think, well, your life is perfect. So how could we relate? How can you actually help me? Because your life is perfect. So the flip side of that, I actually think is a great testimony because it shows the power of God and where he's taken us, and he's placed us with new and better things. I grew up in a divorced family. My parents were divorced when we were really young. And it was a pretty messy divorce. I remember a few moments like vividly. And throughout that, it just caused a lot of hurt, a lot of confusion, rejection, the whole nine. And my mom was an alcoholic. And my dad tried to raise us, you know, going to church. But I didn't really have a full understanding on a relationship with God. I viewed it more as religion and thought everything I was going to do, God was just going to send me to hell over. So eventually I walked away in high school, dealt with intense anger and rage, was willing to fight anybody at any given time. You can ask my brother. He was one of them, Terry. Gotcha. no, but I had a lot, like rage. Started partying, drinking at a young age. You know, the progression of what that leads to carried on into my adult life. And I moved to North Carolina, got involved with the same type of people down there, got further in it. But I really, really carried a rebelliousness within my spirit of just, I didn't want to listen to anybody. I didn't want to submit to anybody. I was going to do my own thing. No one's going to tell me how to live my life or what to do. But it progressed. And after so many times of being rebellious, it just developed a deep depression. I remember sleeping for like 18 hours a day, waking up [S2] Wow. [S1] And going right back to bed. Because at this place in my life, I just felt what is life even, you know, what is the meaning of life? And panic attacks, like crazy intense panic attacks. Just the anger. I remember when it would come on me, it would feel like something was literally holding me. And I just didn't ever know what to do with that. And after so many relationships and going through hardships and pain and hurts, I got into this one relationship before I moved home from North Carolina that was extremely toxic, physically abusive, sexually abusive, and, you know, that was at, like, my breaking point. I would come home to visit my mom and my brother. They were coming to church here, and because of their life and the testimony that they lived through and the things that they had seen, you know, change in their life really started to speak to me. Because I would come home to visit, and my mom would be like, you want to come to church with me? And I'd be like, sure. So I would come to church, and I would be like, oh, that's great for you. I'm so happy for you. And I'd go back to North Carolina and, you know, do me. And then finally, it was a breaking point, and I knew that I needed to change my life. I needed something to change my life. And I'm so thankful for my brother. And Kayla, they, when I moved home, they just took me under their wing and they helped just completely show me what it was to be supportive. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, I mean, it was like radical. Things were happening in my life. Depression was gone. The fits of rage were completely removed. It was like they lifted off of me. I haven't had a panic attack in like over 10 years. God's just given me, and that's what I want to focus on, is that the things that are birthed out of, you know, because it can be a moment when you're coming to a Savior, you know, oh, thank you for saving me. But what happens after, when you're willingly submitting your life right to God, is where you see the fruit, is where you see the blessing, is where you see God really move in your life. And I'm telling you, I'm so blessed today. The things that I get to do and participate with, I have an amazing, amazing husband, which for the longest time, that was a big joke because I was like, the pastor's son, get out of here. Never. But here we are. And, you know, I get to do things, and I have two amazing blessings, two children from the Lord that man, will preach fire. I don't know if you've seen Sophia's videos. She loves Jesus with her whole heart, and I'm so thankful for it. But God just continually pours out his blessing and his favor on my life because of just how I've submitted to him. And I just want that to be an encouragement to you, is to change your posture from Savior to Lord. Submit to him. That rebellion, don't rebel against the Lord, and see what he starts to change in your life.
Amen. Thank you. This is Josh. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. All right, so now that that's over with, it really does hurt.
I try to rip it out every week.
For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Josh, and I really liked to party a lot in my life. I started drinking, drugging, rock and rolling, partying when I was 14. And I'm just going to skip a lot and just jump right to when I was 29. So I'm like 15 years in of just going crazy. You wouldn't even believe me. Anyways, 29 years old, and my friends and I decided to go day drinking one day and hit up all the breweries on like Seneca Lake. And then we decided it'd be a good idea to go night drinking as well. So we went night drinking too. We went to a bar. Yeah, Rach, you were there. Yeah. Shoey, you were there. Yep. All right. Okay, so went to a bar. I ended up getting in a fight, and cops showed up, obviously, and I tried fighting the cops. And the cops won, because they're cops. So I spent a night in jail. And honestly, I got out of jail the next day and went right back to living my life of drinking. It was a generational curse in my family, my whole family, like generations of alcohol and drug addiction. So it was all over the place. And I, getting arrested for assaulting a cop did not deter me from going back and drinking. And then about 5 months later, I got arrested again. this time for a DWI, and I spent another night in jail. And at that point, it was kind of like, all right, man, got to do something here. So I said to myself,
Got to
make a change. You had to make a change. And I had a friend who started going to his tabernacle, and he invited me to come here. It was like 3 days after I had this little conversation about how I needed to make a change. So I said, okay, I will go. And y'all, when I say that I was the only one sitting in this congregation right now, like it was just me, Pastor, and God. The message he preached that day that God put on his heart to use to preach to me was solely for me, and it broke me. I mean, I was in tears. I remember I was sitting right in the back left-hand corner over there, kind of where Zach is. Yeah, right there. And I came running up when he made that altar call, didn't even care, and I gave my heart to God that day. That was in 2015. I was 31 years old. It took a long time for me to get there. And it was amazing. I immediately felt peace and freedom and love and comfort in my life. And I did. I stopped drinking for a little while. But the devil is a sneaky little tool.
Yes.
And he kind of put in my mind, like, you know, you don't have to get drunk. You can still drink. Just have one. And I was like, you know what? You're right, devil. You're right. So, yeah, I'm going to start drinking again. But I didn't know. He knew. I didn't know that I couldn't just stop at one. Like, I drank to get drunk. And what I was doing it by myself at this point. And I was in church every Sunday. I was an uproar youth leader. I was here every Thursday. And in the meantime, I was getting drunk. I would drink a glass of wine and get drunk. Not off just one glass. Right? But I would get drunk and read my Bible. Like, all right, well, I got God in my life, so I can't get in trouble for getting drunk anymore. I'm good because I got God. He's going to forgive me. Like, we're straight. I was wrong. I was way off. Can't get any trouble? No. Yeah. 2018, I had just gotten married, just went on a honeymoon to Bermuda, just bought a house. We spent some money. We went crazy. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to get another DWI. Why not? Sounds fun. So I added about $20,000 more in debt into our first 3 months of marriage. I'm a felon. I'm on probation. I have a stupid breathalyzer in my car right now. But you know what? None of that matters because that was the best day of my life. In all honesty, I could have killed myself. I could have killed somebody else. I crashed my car. But it was the best day of my life because, well, it took a couple weeks. I won't lie. I slipped into a depression for a little while. I hated myself for what I did. I honestly did. I couldn't stand what I did. And I remember one day I was at work, and the Holy Spirit, who was still dwelling inside of me, because yeah. Mind you, I'm saved, right? I had the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me. He was not happy with me. I know for a fact, because I was still sinning, and he was just probably getting real ticked. And he spoke to me, and he said, go home and call out to God. So that's what I did. I came home from work that day. I went straight into my living room, turned on some worship music, fell on my knees, and called out to God.
Yes.
And I mean, crying on my face, God, where are you?
Right.
And he said, son, and doesn't it feel good when he calls you son or daughter?
Amen.
Anyways, he said, son, I am right here. I am just waiting for you to submit your life to me. And my mind, it was like that mind-blown emoji. You know what I mean? Like, that's what was going on in my head. My mind was blown out. That was the revelation I needed. Because, you see, I was saved, but I wasn't submitted to God. I knew that he was my savior. I knew that he died for my sins, and I knew that he rose 3 days later. But I did not make him Lord over my life. You see, there comes a time in our life after we become saved where we kind of need to take some action and make some decisions, free will choices to make decisions to better ourselves, to receive all the blessings and the promises that God has to offer to us in his word. And if we're not making those changes, we got to get rid of some friends. We have to. We have to get rid of some friends. We have to get rid of some girlfriends. We have to start making the real changes that need to be made, because that's what happens. That's what you do when you make Jesus Lord over your life.
Right.
When you're being obedient to his word, stand on his word and not the world. Yes. And I promise you guys, just watch God work. Just watch God work. So submit. Amen. Love y'all.
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
Are you noticing something? It's not just the change of salvation, but when you continue to change forward, you actually start making him your Lord. You nervous?
Hi, I'm Stacy Root, for those of you who don't know me. So, my story. 19, my whole family growing up, we were together. We didn't come from a broken home. You know, I had my mom, my dad, my sisters, brothers. At the age of 19, I went off to college and poured myself into empty relationships and alcohol. I had my first son at the age of 19. At that point, my dad told me that I would never amount to anything, that I would be a failure my entire life. So I lived with that for years. I had three more sons after my first son. Again, empty relationships, not knowing that God was trying to get my attention to be with him and not with anybody else. So 4 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. We didn't know anything about church. We never went to church. So when I did that, you know, my whole life, I tried to prove to my dad that I was going to have the best of everything. I had the house. I had the six-figure-a-year job. I had the best car. And God was like, that's not what it's about. It's not about your money.
Amen.
It's not about your house.
Amen.
It's not about your car. So I also had four kids that I've been raising on my own for years. So 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I left that job. My income was cut in half. But like Pastor said, and like Josh has said, be obedient to what God is telling you to do. So stepping out in faith, going that route, you know, we were struggling. We were struggling financially. I was struggling spiritually. I was struggling emotionally. And during Dr. Avanzini, he was here one day, and during that service, God told me, you need to seize your mortgage payment. I was like, yeah, okay. You got to be kidding me. Like, I have a house to pay for. I've got kids to pay for. So I did. I seized the mortgage payment. And 2 weeks later, he showed up with more than enough to pay off $30,000 of car debt, $5,000 in credit card debt, and he paid for all of Nathan's college.
Wow.
He's almost to his last semester, and it's all paid for without student loans. You know, I look at Trey. Trey's going to go to SEU, which is one of the top Christian schools in Florida. You know, him and Hannah are going in August, and God's going to provide the extra that we need for
that too. That's right.
So the last year and a half has been like a wilderness for me, like completely different. I have to trust. We have to trust in God. And that was the word he gave me in November for this year. It was trust.
Amen.
And it's difficult to stand up here and give a testimony when hell is just breaking all over your life. You know, when Pastor messaged me on Friday, same time he messaged me, I was like, God, why am I going through this struggle? Why am I fighting for my 16-year-old when I've been faithful to you? This is why. To give my testimony.
Yeah.
To show that God's faithful.
Yes.
And I will fight for my kids because the victory is already mine.
Amen. Not preaching deep, preaching us. Every one of us have a different story. Every one of us came from a different place. Every one of us had different struggles. Moms and dads in home, moms and dads missing. Abuses, wounds. Good church experience, bad church experience, bad marriage, good marriage. We've all had to come to one conclusion, and that is the change I'm making for my life with Jesus Christ is one that will transform not just here in the natural, but in all of my eternal. And now that I know God is my Savior, with God on my side, I cannot lose. No matter what weapon is formed against me, it shall not prosper. But you see, each one of us have to come to those different choices of change. Nobody can make those choices for you. And today, like I said, I'm not going to preach deep, and it's simple. Where are you? Yes, you've given your heart to Jesus, or maybe today in your room and in this room, and you haven't given your heart to Christ. Today is your day to change. But let's say you have given your heart to Christ and you have been serving the Lord, but you've stopped at P. And you're wondering, God, what's going on in my life? Where are you in my life? God is saying, listen now, I didn't graduate you to P. to not go to Q. Amen. We've got to make decisions in our lives. And you know, this never ceases. And even I'm bringing our testimony back in from last week. We had to make some decisions as the doctors are looking at you and saying that she's going to die in 2 weeks. You either just accept that or you make a declaration that God's word says that by his stripes I am healed, and I have to bring a change maybe to something in how I look at things and how I deal with things, how I receive things, how I deal with things. I have to make choices on change to move forward. Each one of us, nobody can make that for you. Are you moving forward or are you stuck at D? Are you maturing? Are you running towards you Z, or have you just kind of tripped up at L? It's not even good enough to get to X. God has more abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. We've got to make a decision in our life that I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I know that I'm going to heaven. But God, that's not where this journey ends. I've got to change forward. What do you want to transition? What do you want to transfer in and or out? What do you want to extract? Oh God, I'll do. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Because God's got greatness for you, not survival for you. And no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, the change, salvation, is not the end, it's the beginning. Lord is not the end, it's the beginning. Surrender is not giving up on yourself, it's believing in God who can make you the best self you'll ever be. Today, don't give up. Don't stop moving. Don't get settled. Don't get lazy. Don't allow what other people have done to steal your future. He's got far more for you than you can ever imagine. Today, are you changing forward or are you settled where you're at? You can bow your heads with me this morning. My heart is simply this, is we're just people. We all come to this place of making choices. You made a choice today to come here. You made a choice to be in the anointing, to hear the word. That's your choice. that moving forward, that change forward, could have dropped a message that will transform you forever. Today, where are you with Jesus? I'm not saying you're not saved. No, no, no. Where are you with Jesus? Today, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, that's where you begin. That's the first change. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's your initial start. Today, if you do not know Christ and you want him in your life, or you know you're not living right, man, you know it. No one has to show up. You don't want to take Jesus to jail with you. Today, if you're not right with God and you want to get right with God, I want you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone here that would like to get right with Jesus? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, and last call, and 1. That means we got a job to do. That means everybody here is born again. That means we all got a job to get somebody to the house of God that's not right. Say amen or oh my. But today, if you're not moving forward, I just want to ask you a question. What is God asking you to change next to move you to a new forward? What is that thing? So I want you to pray this with me right out loud. Jesus, I not only receive you as my Savior, but as my Lord. I ask today, Holy Spirit, that you'll reveal to me that next change that will move me forward closer to Jesus, to be more like him, to have more impact, to bring more people to heaven with me. Jesus, change me from the inside out. In your name we pray. Amen. Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. Today we want to make sure we connect with you. If you have not yet been to the connection room and greeted our pastors and learned more about the church, we would love for you to do that. It's down this hallway when you leave this morning. But we're going to enter into the time of tithes and offerings. We never want to have a time where we're not declaring the word of the Lord over our finances. In this season and time that we're living in, we want our money to move from natural to supernatural. And when we obey God, when we make him Lord in our finances, he will bless and prosper us. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children, his word says. Malachi 3 tells us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And the word tithe simply means 10%. And then in Matthew, Jesus says, you tithe, this you ought to do. It's what we do to move our money out of this natural realm and put it in God's hands. And that's the place when we make him Lord of our finances, where he makes roads in the wilderness, where he makes a way where there is no way. He puts water, rivers in desert places. He promises to prosper and bless his people who obey his word. So this morning we're going to give. If you'll stand to your feet, we make a supernatural declaration here. It's simply the word of God. You can find it in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you'll repeat it after me, I don't want this ever to become just repetitious either. Like, this isn't just a repetitious thing we do. This is the word of God. We're prophesying over our money what it has to do. The word of God says when it goes forth, it does not return void. It has to perform what we send it to do. So this morning we're sending our money to prosper, right? Amen. So raise your envelopes or your phones or however it is you give to the sky and repeat and prophesy over your finances with me. It says, if I obey,